Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what have I read so far? I've read this. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Now, if you fill with the Spirit, there are some things going to happen. First thing that's going to happen is going to be a song in your heart. You're going to have the joy of the Lord. Second thing that's going to happen, you're going to have a gratitude heart, verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing that's going to happen, we don't like to deal with, but here it is. A Spirit-filled person will always do what verse number 21 says. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now look at me. Starting there, and I'm going to show you this from the Bible, starting there and going through the rest of the chapter and into the next chapter, we have four different two-way relationships that people are to submit to each other on. And I never saw it. Once I saw it, it blew me away. And it changed my life. And it's changed a lot of other lives. It changed a lot of lives in our church. This sermon helped people keep their jobs. This sermon has promoted people and made people do better in their work. It's given them better marriages, helped them with their children. This sermon has awakened many a teenager to the secret of a happy life. And this sermon, I believe, can be a blessing to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless us now as we preach the Bible. Thank you. We've got a Bible to preach, one that we can count on. This King James Bible, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. Jot and tittle perfect, inspired, preserved Word of God. We're not looking for the Bible. We have found it. We don't have the closest thing to it. We've got it, the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless us now as we preach this book, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. There are four fruits to a Spirit-filled life. And the fourth one here is a submission one to the other. There are four relationships given here that we are to submit to each other on. I want you to take a quick look at them. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's the first one. Here's another one. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and so forth. That's the second one. The third one is right after that. Verse 3, chapter 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same. So now we've covered the husband and wife relationship, the parent-child relationship, the employer-employee relationship. Now, starting in verse 10 of chapter 6, we have the God-child of God relationship. Now, there's something that will amaze you about these four relationships, if you've never seen it. And starting this sermon off, I'm going to teach to you a little bit. That's what I'm doing now. But then after I lay the groundwork, I'm going to preach to you a little bit. All right? So now I want you to notice this with me. I want you to notice that in every case I just read to you, I want you to notice that the subordinate is told to submit first. And then the authority is told to submit back. Now let's take a look at it. And by the way, if you think that's astounding, in every case, you find these relationships, you will find that the subordinate is to submit first. Now, that's right opposite of what you would think. But God had a design and a reason for it. First of all, let me show you that it's a fact, and then I'll tell you why. First of all, look at the fact. It doesn't say, husbands, now you love your wives as Christ loved the church, and then after that say, wives, now you submit to your husband. Don't say that. But instead, it says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Then it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. In chapter 6, it doesn't say, now you fathers, you've got a responsibility. You bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then turn around and say to the children, now children, you submit to your parents. It don't say that. It says, children, you submit to your parents. Then it says, fathers, you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You fathers submit back. Do you think that's strange? Look at the next one. It doesn't say now, you masters, you treat those servants right, those employees right. You boss men, you treat them right. Doesn't say that, and then turn around and say, now you servants, you submit back to them. Don't say that. But look what it does say in verse 3 of chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Then it turns around and says in verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Now, why, and by the way, everywhere in the Bible that you look, you find that same order. For instance, and you don't have to turn, but if you want to, you could have just jot the reference down in Colossians chapter 3. And beginning in verse number 15, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. Now stop right there. Look up at me. What is he saying? He has said here, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, what does he say is going to happen when you do that? Admonishing one another in psalms, there's your joy again, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, you see, there's that gratitude again, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. But here's what I want you to see, folks. Look at it. Now look at it. Listen. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Then the next verse says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Notice the order? The same order. Wives, submit first, then husband. Notice verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The next verse says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Notice verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And then it goes on to explain to us how masters, in chapter 4, verse 1, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Now look at me. In every case, again, in Colossians, like we found in Ephesians, the subordinate is told to submit first. When you have four counts in a row in two separate places, and it follows the same order in all four counts, and by the way, in every place in the Bible you go to, it teaches that. I'm going to show you another place or two as I kick off now and preach on submission causes submission. Now listen to me. You say, why in the world did God ask the subordinate to submit first to the authority and then the authority to submit? And by the way, the authority is to submit. Not only does it say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, but it says, husbands, love your wives. Now that love is not a submission in the sense you obey her and do what she says. We make too much of this joke. She's the boss. It ain't funny, folks. It's not funny at all. And no woman that's right with God wants to be the boss. She wants a loving husband that loves God and got a sense of direction about the way God wants to lead the family and the marriage. And she's most glad to submit to him. Somebody that loves God and loves her and cares about her and cares about the family and has got enough spirituality to blow the fuzz off a peanut. She wants a husband like that. Here. And it says the husbands, and then it says, and ye fathers, he says after the children are submit to their fathers, ye fathers do the same and bring up your children in the nurture and have submit back to those children. Now here's what I'm saying. Everybody, it's not just a doctrinal thing. It is built into our very spirits and built into our very natures. I was married 38 years to the model wife. I am stubborn, I am strong-willed, and I am bullheaded. And if my wife was alive, matter of fact, in heaven, she's looking down saying, amen, folks, you can believe every word he just told you. I am, and by the way, a man that is a man is. Now, if you're married to a Twinkie, it might be different. If you married one of these old boys, he's a henpecked, he has to roost on a bedpost every night, it might be different. But if you're married to a man, I mean, that man has got some leadership about him, and you're not going to run over him. And if you try to push him, he's going to push back. And it's built into his very nature. And if you're a teenager or a child, and you're going to try to push your parents, they're going to push back. And you're going to create problems for yourself. You have violated God's biblical taught order in His Word, and you're going to have trouble. Now, let's look at them one by one. The husband and wife relationship. I've read to you the scriptures. If you go all through the Bible, you'll find this same order. For instance, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, we read these words. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And then it goes on, says, your chaste conversation coupled with fear, adorning yourself with a meek and quiet spirit, and even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Then it says, after it goes through all of that, then it says, and ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And it goes on to say, giving honor unto the wife, giving honor unto her, submit to her in honor as unto the weaker vessel. Kathy Rice was teaching some ladies at the Bill Rice Ranch years ago. And Kathy Rice wrote the greatest book on marriage for ladies outside of the King James Bible probably ever written, called The Right Way in Marriage by Kathy Rice. But Kathy Rice was teaching ladies. And in that message, in that lesson, there was probably several hundred ladies. They would draw up to 1,200 campers there, family week and other weeks. It was in those days, the world's largest fundamental camping ministry. And Kathy Rice, married to Dr. Bill Rice, brother to Dr. John R. Rice, who was editor of the Sword of the Lord. Kathy Rice, and Bill Rice was a great evangelist in his own right. Kathy Rice made a statement. She said, I always do everything my husband says do, and I always do it with a good attitude. There was a woman there that heard that statement, at least one as we know of, and that cooked her goose. I mean, that burnt her good. So she decided she was going to do something about it. She went to Dr. Bill Rice, and here's what she said, something to this effect. Dr. Rice, real sweet, you know how these ladies can get to you. She said, Dr. Rice, she said, your wife was teaching the lady. She's quite a teacher. He said, thank you, ma'am. I've always thought so myself. She said, Dr. Rice, you know what your wife said this morning? Your wife said that she did everything that you ever asked her to do, and she always did it with the right attitude, smiled. She said, Dr. Rice, what do you have to say about that? And Dr. Rice dropped his head. He said, well, she didn't tell the whole truth. And this lady grinned from ear to ear. She thought, yes, I've got her now. He said, she didn't tell the whole truth. Truth is, she does do everything in the world I ever even wish for her to do. And she always does it with the right attitude. But I do everything in the world she wishes for me to do, and I always do it with the right attitude. And he had revealed something that woman had totally missed. And it was this right here. When Mrs. Rice submitted to that tall, dynamic, bull-headed, leadership-prone fella, he was powerless, but what to submit back. God has built into a man leadership qualities that causes him to want to submit to a woman that submits to him. And in that man is a trait that makes him want to resist a woman that does not submit to him. I had a woman in my church, and this woman in my church heard this sermon. She didn't like it. But she wasn't rebellious. She just didn't agree with it. She came to me. She said, Pastor, that wouldn't work in our case. I said, why wouldn't it work? She said, my husband wants to buy a new car right now. We can't afford a new car. If we bought a new car, we couldn't even make house payments. She said, we'd go broke. I said, well, you wouldn't go broke but once. He'd get the point. She just stared at me. I said, you know, at some point in your life and in your marriage, you're going to have to decide you're going to do things God's way. You're going to do things like the Bible says. And it's not right for you to stand in your husband's way, whatever he feels led to do for the family. I said, why don't you cave in and see what happens? Why don't you do it God's way? She just stared at me, shook her head and walked away. Well, she just decided she'd give it a try. It wasn't many mornings after that they were sitting, and he hadn't brought it up for several days. He brought it up and said, boy, you know, I really think I'd love to buy that. I think it was a brand new Buick. It was a nice one, the big one. And she's sitting there eating her eggs. She said, hey, buy it. He said, what? She said, buy it. He said, buy it? She said, yeah, buy it. You'd like it. I can tell you want it. Buy it. She said, I'd enjoy a new car. Buy it. He said, are you kidding? She said, no, I'm not kidding. Buy it. If you want it, buy it. You're the leader of the home. You know what we can do and what we can't do. Buy it. Take off. Hey, get it. I'm anxious to ride it. Be fun. She said he looked a little puzzled, a little troubled. He never mentioned it again. Till about a week or two. They're sitting at the table and she said, hey, what about the car? He said, well, you know, I've been thinking. I did a little figuring. I don't hardly see how we can make house payments and buy that thing. Now, here's my point. Here was a woman who was deforming a man from becoming a leader because she wouldn't submit to him. And here was a woman now that still married. Now, this was years ago, actually. It was years ago. They're both older now. They both are still living. They both still live at home. And she loves him to death. But she was creating a husband that she was going to live to hate. Now stay with me. I know I'm doing more teaching than preaching, but I'm about to tree the coon right now. And you know it. Now stay with me. Some of you women, you are going to live to hate the husband you're creating. You're young enough, you're independent enough, you can make the decision, but you're going to get old, lady. And the older you get, the more you're going to want security. And the more you're going to want somebody to love you and take care of you. And you're going to have a husband that don't know, he's going to look at you and say, what are we going to do now? You're going to create a, look, hey, true story. The woman's married to a man, he started everything and finished nothing. I mean, the yard was setting full of cars. That he was going to overhaul the engines and fix this and fix that. I mean, he was running the personal junkyard in the front yard. I mean, it was awful. He was going to remodel the bedroom. And it had been months. He had a pile of 2x4s she had to crawl over to get in the bed every night. And she let him hear about it. Boy, she nag. She was like the woman nagged so much when her husband died. His name was Walter. She said, I put on a tombstone, here lies Walter. May he rest in peace until we meet again. That's what she put right on the tombstone. Nag. She nagged him. But one night, she was in a service like this. And she got under conviction about her nagging. And she went home and set her husband down and said, I got something to tell you. He looked at her and said, what now? She said, I have ruined our marriage over 2x4s. He just looked at her. She said, I've nagged and nagged and nagged because you wouldn't move the cars and you wouldn't finish this project and that project. And I have to climb over lumber to get in my bed every night. And she said, I've nagged and nagged and nagged and I've been wrong. And I want you to forgive me and I'm sorry. I've got a husband don't smoke, drink, dip, cuss, chew, and run with the boys that do. I've got a husband that brings home a paycheck. He don't look at these little hip-swinging hussies out here. I've got a husband that's been true to me and loved me and goes to church and loves God. And I've made our marriage a hell on earth because of my nagging and nagging. The fact I didn't just submit and stop nagging. And I want you to forgive me. Hey, by the way, guess what happened to the lumber in less than 7 days? How many men know? Raise your hand. Of course you know. Of course you know. She suddenly found a man that would submit to her. You know what that man is doing? Because it's built into him. He wouldn't go submit to that woman. No, not in 100 years. If you're married to a man, lady, you are not going to get him to do what you want to do by nagging him and pushing him. The only way you're going to do it is by submitting to him. Sheldon Smith, I was preaching with him in Ohio. He's never heard this sermon. He didn't even know what he was saying. He said, I got a hankering for a luxury car. And he said, I'd pick up Betty on lunch hour. That's the Sword of the Lord. He's editor of the Sword of the Lord now. Said, I'd pick up Betty on lunch hour, and we'd go out and look for these cars. And he found one. It wasn't new, but it was a luxury car, late model luxury car. And he said, Betty hadn't said anything. I'd looked at several. Finally, I found the car. And he said, I walked around that thing, and he said, boy, that was it. I was going to buy that car. He said, Betty, really, you hadn't given me your opinion. What do you think? She said, buy it. I can tell you, want it, buy it. He said, immediately when she said that, the Holy Ghost of God said, you can't afford that thing. Do you see what was happening here? I don't know if you folks are getting this or not, but do you see what was happening there? What was happening was, when that woman submitted to him, she cleared the way for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to him. There's women in this room that have men cut off from God. Your husband could be a leader for God in this church, for God out yonder in the workplace. He could be a leader of your children and set standards of leadership that would create character in your children, but you will not let him. You've got God cut off. The Holy Spirit of God won't work through you to him. He'll only work to him through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm trying to tell you something. You're going to live to hate the thing. Somebody said, oh, but Pastor Brown, one woman, she came up to the preacher. She said, now, preacher, I want to tell you something. That works for you Christian people, but I'm married to a drunk. And he comes in cussing and carrying on. And sometimes he even pushes me or hits me. And this submission stuff wouldn't work. And preacher said to him, he said, well, what do you do when he does that? She said, what do you mean what I do? I claw his eyeballs out. That's exactly what I do. I tear into him like a circle saw. And the preacher said, well, that don't sound like submission to me. She said, submission? He said, yeah, lady, why don't you just decide you're going to quit fighting the old boy? It may make a difference in his life. She just looked at him and walked away. But she decided she'd try it. Wasn't long after that, he came in drunk. He is mouthing off like a drunk will, making an idiot out of themselves, you know. He was looking out there with her, and he kind of bumped her a little bit, and she stepped back and fell over. Something fell on the floor. He got down over her, and he was going to hit her with his open hand. And he drew back, and she just looked up at him. She said, the last thing I remember was, God, are you sure this is going to work? And she drew back. He was going to smack her. And she just looked up at him, just like a little dove looking up. Now, this man, this drunk, I mean drunk, gave this testimony later, said, when I drew back, and she was just looking up, for the first time in her life, she offered no resistance. For the first time in her life, she wasn't fighting and clawing and carrying on. He said, when I raised my hand back, I looked in her face. Her face became a mirror, and I saw what an ugly, ungodly, filthy, low-down, rotten, godless, in for hell, on my way to hell I was. He got up. He staggered into the bedroom, fell across the bed, went to sleep, but he couldn't get away from what he saw, and he got pawned again! He got saved! Somebody's gonna have to wave a white flag somewhere. Somebody's gonna have to submit to somebody, and the leader cannot submit to the follower first. If he does, the leader becomes the follower, and the follower becomes the leader. It won't work! Now, I'm trying to tell you something. Somebody said, oh, Brother Brown, what if I really submit to him and he doesn't submit back? Well, and I'm going to scare Reggie now, but you'll hear the conclusion of the matter. In that case, you can go get you another husband. You say, really? Yeah, really. Say, how could I biblically go get me another husband? Because God will kill that one. Now, you're laughing, but I want to warn you men about something. There's women, if it happens tonight, like it's happening, and this is just point one, by the way, but if it happens tonight, like it happens in other churches, there's some women going to go home and give this thing a shot. They're going to decide that they are going to submit to their husbands in a biblical way. And when they do, men, are you listening to me? You had better submit back. You better love them. You better give your heart. You better be kind and tender and thoughtful and considerate and loving and give honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel. And if you don't, listen, God gave you that precious wife and he gave you the responsibility to love her and keep her in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as you will live. And if she submits to you and you don't love her back and submit back to her, you liable to wrap your little Ford around an oak tree down here somewhere. And I'll tell you something else. You die and you go to heaven. You look down and God will let your wife marry somebody who looks nicer than you do and richer than you do. And you'll look down and you'll see some other fella riding your boat and shooting your gun and living in your house. And you'll realize what an idiot you've been. Now you better listen to me. I'm trying to tell you something. Amen. Now you better listen to me. I'm trying to help you now. And don't be like one woman. One woman said, George, why is it that every time I decide I'm going to submit to you, you start telling me what to do? It's got to be in the heart, ladies. And if it's in the heart, and men, you better be sensitive about it too. And listen, Dr. Bill Rice and Kathy had put their finger on the heaven on earth life for a husband and his wife. She always did everything in this world he wanted her to do. She always did it with a good attitude. And because she had made that decision and set out to practice that, he submitted back and did everything she wanted him to do and did it with a good attitude. And friend, I'm going to tell you, there's couples in this room right now. You could discover, if you made a decision to obey God's holy word and what I'm teaching you, you could walk out of here and discover a heaven on earth in your home and in your marriage that would not only give you joy from the wells of marriage, but it would set a standard for you to raise godly children that will have godly marriages and godly homes and be happily adjusted as husband and wife in their home. I'm trying to help you. If you'll listen to me, I'm trying to help you. Number two, let's talk a little bit about the parent-child relationship. Look in chapter 6 here, back in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, submit to your parents. Then, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, children, listen to me. If you will submit to your parents will submit to you. I remember coming in one day, and Daniel, who's now assistant pastor and youth director in a church running 1,200, Daniel, just a little fella. But Daniel was always athletic. Joseph played ball, but it was just fun time. But Daniel was gifted at it. He was athletic. And Daniel always loved to do something with a ball. When he was about 6 or 7, hey, Dad, would you play some catch with me? I said, son, I'd love to. But I said, I got to go visit some people that don't know God, and I got to go talk to them, and I'm in a hurry, got to change. I said, maybe we'll get home this evening. I can pitch some ball with you. He said, okay. I went up, and I started through the door. And I turned around, he'd stood in the doorway, and he's leaning against the doorpost, and he had his ball and glove in his hand. He said, Daddy, it's okay. He said, souls are more important than ball anyway. He said, it's all right. Don't worry. He said, I know you'll do it later. And the work of God's more important anyhow. I just stared at him. What are you going to do with a kid like that? You can't whip them. They haven't done anything wrong. Amen. You can't whip them. You can't jump on them. You can't rebuke them. What are you going to do with them? Play ball. That's exactly what I did. That boy forced me to play ball through his submission. One day I came in and Joanna Lee is here, and she knows Joanna. Joanna's the oldest. We call her Chihuahua. She's not the 4'10", little short thing. Joanna, she said, Dad, can I go visiting with you today? And I said, honey, I'd love to, but I've got to go to a house where there's a drinker. Table's setting full of beer, and I don't know what all we're going to get into. And I don't think it might be a good place for a little girl to go. And I said, maybe you can go there. Now, the reason my children always wanted to go visiting with me wasn't because that's all fire spiritual at 4 years old, but it was because they knew that an ice cream cone was in order before we got home. You know what I mean? And so anyway, I wanted to go in, and they always wanted to go for that reason. Well, anyhow, I came in and I said, honey, she said, okay. I went up and I got changed, got dressed to go visiting. I came back down the steps. When I started out the door, that little girl, she was 4 years old. Still, she's so little, she still has to sit on a child seat. She is sitting in the chair as you go out the door with patent leather shoes, Sunday morning dress on. I mean, Easter Sunday morning dress on. Sitting there with her little ankles crossed, looking up at me, and I looked down at her. And as I looked down, she looked up, and here's what she said. Now, Dad, she said, don't think that you have to take me with you just because I got dressed. Now, she's 4 years old. Now, keep this in mind, she's 4 years old. She said, don't think you have to take me with you just because I got dressed. She said, because you're going where little girls shouldn't go today. And I understand that, and this, it's more important to go without me, and I understand that. But you know, there have been times when you were known to change your mind. And if this be one of those cases, I just didn't want you to have to wait for me. But don't think you got to take me. Hey, men, what are you going to do with a girl like that? You can't whip her. She hadn't done anything wrong. What are you going to do with her? You're going to take her. I changed my whole plan. Look, I put that little thing in a child seat, buckled up, backed out of the garage. And when I did, her mother, who was working the garden over there beside her, her mother jumped up, came running over with her hoe. I mean, she had that old Iowa black dirt all over. She came running up and stood with her hoe and grinned at us, kind of funny looking, as we backed out. And as I was backing down the drive, I looked at Joanna and I said, what's your mother grinning so funny for? She looked at me and grinned. She said, because Mama told me how to get it done. Now, Mama knew how to get it done. And Mama knew the biblical way to get it done. And she taught her daughters how to get it done. And I've got seven children, five girls, four of my girls are married, and all four of them, ask Leah, all four of them are as happy as a possum in a briar patch. I mean, they're as happy as they can be. They love their husbands to death. Their husbands love them. They have proper relationship. Far as I know, all four of them have wonderful relationship because Mama taught those girls how to get it done. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a way young people, children, are you listening to me? You 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds. There's a way to get it done. You submit to, look, Daniel called me. He was 15 years old. He had an idea. He said, Dad, I'm at the office. I'm working at the church. He said, Dad, he said this. He said, you know, he said, I just had a thought today. I said, what was it? He said, I've never played golf before. I said, yeah, I know. I haven't either. He said, I'd like to go play golf sometime. I don't know if you'd ever take me. You reckon you'd take me someday? I mean, just someday if you get a chance. You reckon you ever would? I'm as busy as a one-armed paper hanger. And I said, go get your clothes ready. I'll be there in 20 minutes. We'll leave. He froze. He said, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm not kidding. He hung the phone up. I changed my plans. I changed everything I was going to do. I'd never touched a golf club in my life. Still wish I had never. I hate the game. And the reason I hate the game, they discriminate against me. They don't mow the grass where my ball goes. They grow corn and beans where my ball falls, but they don't. They mow the grass where everybody else's ball goes. I hate the game. They're against me. But I went home, and when I walked in, I ran up to get dressed, and my wife met me, and she said, "Larry, stop. I got to tell you something." She said, "Larry, Daniel came up here, and he said, I can't believe that my daddy quit his work and came home just to take me golfing." Now, I'll tell you something, folks. If you're going to raise good children, you're going to have their hearts. But let me tell you something, young people. If they're going to have your heart, you're going to have to submit first. I'm speaking to young people in this room. You say, my parents, they come to church and they act like Christians and they go home. They're overbearing. They're too hard on me. They choke too much liberty out of me. I'm going to shock you. You might be right. Maybe they are too hard on you. Maybe they don't act Christian towards you sometime. Maybe they don't give you enough liberty. Yes, you're hearing what you think you're hearing. But now stay with me. But you caused it. You caused it. There's a stubbornness in a parent, just like there is in a husband. And if you think that you're going to push your parents around, if they're real parents, you got another thing coming. And you're going to create a hell on earth for yourself, and some of you have already done it. My Joanna was secretary at the church for several years. She was a good one. Leah was secretary. She was a good one. Rebecca was secretary. She was a good one. I was in Florida preaching. Joanna calls me 1,500 miles away. And she said, Dad, she said, you know that last meeting you was in down North Carolina? I said, yeah. She said, well, you brought in a singing tape. I said, I get them everywhere I go. Everybody gives them one. She said, now, Dad, she said, you know, she said, it's a Southern Gospel group. I said, yeah, I know. She said, most of it's old school Southern Gospel. That means good music. Music you would approve of. But some of it is not music you would approve of. I said, Joanna, I never took the wrapper off of it. Had no idea what was in it. I just brought it in, laid it down there. She'd picked it up. She said, Dad, I was wondering if I avoid the songs that I know you wouldn't approve of, could I listen to the other songs? Now, don't let me scare you parents now. Listen to me. Here's what I said to her. I said, Joanna, you've got the Holy Spirit of God. She wouldn't, but she was either 15 or 16. And my secretary. She was homeschooled and she could do that. She could work full time over there and still get her schoolwork. She was pretty smart. But I said, Joanna, you got the Holy Spirit of God as well as I do. I said, I'm 1,500 miles from you. I have no idea what's on that CD. But I said, you just ask God to lead you and do whatever God tells you to do. Now, you teenagers, listen to me. Don't you hit your parents and say, did you hear what he said? Just let me do whatever I feel God wants me to do. Wait a minute, little honey bunch. You listen to me. If I've got a 15, 16-year-old daughter that'll call me 1,500 miles to ask my permission to listen to a tape when I would have never known if she'd ever listened to it to start with, then I'm going to submit back to that girl and I can do it safely because she wants to please her daddy and she wants to do it so much that she's willing to get my permission to even listen to a CD and I don't have to worry about a girl. Hey, I've got a daughter on the mission field. She came through here. You support her. You support Rachel and Jerry White. Rachel's my daughter. I'll never forget this. Rachel was somewhat like Joanna. Rachel wasn't as pushy as Joanna and Daniel. Leah was the easiest in the world. Her and Sarah were the easiest two to raise in the world. But Rachel, she could be persistent if she wanted to do something. And so she said, Dad, I'd like to run up to Cedar Rapids. Now, she had just turned 18. We had a rule. You couldn't drive out of the area until you were 18. You'd get your license at 16, but you couldn't drive out of the area until you was 18. I just felt like we needed that much experience behind the wheel. That was my thinking. I'm not setting that standard for you. I'm just what we did. But anyway, listen to me carefully. So I said, honey, it's Friday night. It's going to be dark in an hour and a half. It takes 2 hours just to go up and back if you didn't stop. And I said, the drunks are out. I said, honey, you're by yourself. I said, and then I paused and I thought, should I, shouldn't I? Boy, she went to work like a Philadelphia lawyer. I'm now, Dad, now let me tell you, I can leave right away. I can, and I pondered a little bit. I said, Rachel, I guess. Oh, good. She ran upstairs. Boy, she's getting things around. She came back through. She had to pick up some things. And she said, are you sure it's okay? I said, yeah. She went in here a little bit. She came back. She said, now, you sure it's okay if I go? I said, yeah. She went upstairs. She did something else. She came back through. She said, are you sure that it's okay? I said, girl, don't you think I'm mad enough to say no when I want to say no? She said, yeah. I said, well, why do you keep asking me if it's okay? She said, because I don't want to sit. I'll never forget what she said if I live to be 100 years old. She said, because I don't want to sit in a wheelchair with both of my legs cut off in a car wreck because I pushed a daddy to do what he really didn't feel left for me to do. Tears came to my eyes. Hey, that girl's on a mission field tonight. Serving God, submitted to her own husband. I said, Rachel, I said, yes, I meant yes, get in that car and get up there and get back. And she did. But I'm trying to tell you something tonight. You submit to your parents and you say, oh, my parents are overbearing. But you're causing it. You're causing it. I'm just simply saying, hey, and somebody, oh, but my daddy's not a preacher like you are. Listen, true story. A kid rode in on the bus and got saved. And she kind of grew up in the church. Her mom and daddy was lost. They tried to win them to God. Couldn't win them to God. And boy, this girl submitted to the Lord. She believed the preaching. And the preacher was preaching, submit to your daddy, submit to your mother, obey your parents. One day, this pastor got a call from the mother of this girl. And she said, Pastor so-and-so. He said, yeah. I said, my husband asked me to call you and ask you if you would come down and talk to him. And this pastor said, oh, he said, I'll be right down. Oh, he hung the phone up. He was overjoyed. Thank God he's going to get saved. We've been praying for it all this time. And he went down and she said, he's in the back room. We'll talk to you privately. He went back there and he said, I sat down. He said, Preacher, I want to talk to you. He said, what is it? He said, you're causing trouble for me. He said, what am I doing? He said, well, you got my daughter up at the church. You preach to her. She comes in here. She tells me that I'm supposed to tell her what college to go to, if I'm going, or even whether she's to go to college. She tells me that I'm supposed to approve who she dates and who she's going to marry and all of that stuff. He said, Preacher, I don't know nothing about all that stuff. You're causing trouble for me. What do I do? How do I answer that? He said, well, I think I can help you. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And led that man to God, and he got saved because a girl submitted to her daddy. Now, what I'm trying to help you with, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, is if you'll submit to your parents, they will submit back to you. And if some of you are in for a rough ride, I dare you. I dare you to go to your daddy, and I mean to your daddy. Be okay to go to your mother too, but your daddy, he'll tell you straight. And look at your daddy and say, Daddy, is this dress okay? Is this dress too tight? Is this dress? Look, I've raised 5 girls. I have never had a daughter, but what I've had to say, honey, that dress is too tight. Now, you need to go back upstairs and change that. That dress is too short. That dress is too low cut. You need to change that now. And I know you mean well, and I don't think you intended to flaunt yourself, but boys aren't memorizing Sunday school verses when they look at you with that on. Now you get back up there. Amen? Amen. And by the way, we need some homes with a daddy that's got some guts that'll do that. Say amen right there. Some of you men ought to be ashamed of yourself. Rise up, men of God. Let some scuzzball drag your daughter off. You protect your dogs. You keep them up. Let some old male dog come around and you have half-breed puppies. And then you let your daughters run with the scuzzballs of the community. What in the world's wrong with you anyhow? He says, I don't like your preaching. I don't like your look. You better smile. I'll part and preach 30 minutes right there. Amen and amen. But I'm trying to tell you something now. I'm trying to be sweet. You better holler amen so I stay that way. But if you'll go to your parents, if you'll say to your parents what Joanna said to me, Dad, is this good music? Do you think this is good music? I mean, if you go to your parents, look, my children learned this so early. I remember Leah and Rebecca, she sat right over here. Leah and Rebecca came out the garage door there one day. I said, girls, where are you going? Down to pond fishing. Had their fishing rod in their hand. I said, I'm in a hurry, just run home for lunch. I said, what you using for bait? They said, we don't have any bait. We just take some loaf bread, ball it up, put it on the hook. I said, that don't stay on, does it? No, it just crumbles and falls off, but it's all we got. And Mama, she's real busy. She don't have time to go get us no worms. And I know you're too busy, too. You don't have time to go get us no worms. Hey, you ain't right with God if you don't go get bait worms for girls like that. Amen? Amen. You ain't right with God. Or go dig someone. I'm just trying to say, children, you can discover a wonderful life, a joyous life, if you'll learn to submit to your parents. How about the employer-employee relationship? Look in verse number 5 here. I'm going to teach some of you how to climb the corporate ladder. I'm going to teach some of you how to get richer than you are. And some of you could stand to be richer than you are. Notice verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Notice here. Servants, you submit to your masters. And then, verse 9, and ye masters do the same. Barb Griswold was, for all practical purposes, a lawyer at Mercy Hospital, a Catholic hospital in Iowa City. She was a member of my church, and at that time was attending very faithfully. Barb Griswold heard this sermon. Barb Griswold told me this story. She said, and she was the head honcho over all the legal matters in this big Catholic hospital. She said this. Now, stay with me. I want to tell you something. She said this. She said, I dropped the ball. I messed up. She said, I messed up. I don't know what decision she made, but it was a bad one. She said, they called a board meeting. And she said, we filed in where the long desk was. And she said, I knew what the meeting was about. And she said, we came in there, and they were filing in. These were the big dogs. And she said, before they sat down, she said, let me have everybody's attention. She'd heard this sermon. Let me have everybody's attention. They just stopped and looked at her. They said, look, could I save us all some time? I know what we're in here for. I dropped the ball. I messed up. I was hired to do a job, and I didn't get it done. I don't blame you if you fire me. I'd have it coming. It was all my fault. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. By the way, there's a world out there not used to that kind of talk. There's a world out there that shocks them. They don't know how to handle it. So she said, I just thought I'd save all the trouble, all the gab. It was my fault. One of the persons spoke up and said, now, Barb, I don't think any of us could say it was all your fault. She said, yes, it was. It was my department. I was responsible. And another said, no, now, Barb, there's more involved. And suddenly, the people that came to supposedly fire her was defending her and submitting to her because she submitted to them. Charlie Fryermuth, for years, the greatest soul winner in my church. He's like a bird dog. He is after lost souls everywhere. You turn him loose, he's just after them. I don't know how many people Charlie has won to God. Charlie is the purchasing agent for United Technologies in Iowa City, a company that makes the dashes and the side panels for automobiles. He has a Learjet at his disposal. He picks up a phone. This Learjet will fly in for somewhere with 2 pounds of little screws because they need it for a special order job. And I mean, this thing is time precision, and they can lose $1 million an hour when it plants down. And he blew it. I don't know what he did, but he blew it. He got word they had called the big dog from Detroit to fly down and talk to him. He knew his job was on the line. And when the secretary buzzed, he'd heard this sermon. And when the secretary buzzed him, she said, Charlie, Mr. So-and-so from Detroit is here to see you. He said, send him in. And when the guy walked in the office, he just stood up and said, sir, sit down. I got something to tell you. The fellow sat down and looked at him like, buddy, boy, are you presumptuous? And he said, I looked at him and said, look, you didn't have to fly down here. I know what you're down here for. You're down here because you got a guy you're paying, no, he's probably making over $100,000 a year. You got a guy that you're paying big money for to do a job, and he dropped the ball. I messed up, and I know exactly how much I've cost this company, and I know exactly why you're here, and I don't blame you if you fire me. You don't hire people to goof off and make stupid decisions like that. And he's jumping on the guy over himself. The fellow just standing there staring at him. In all of his career, he had never had anybody talk to him that way. And Charlie just went on. I'm telling you, it's awful. Now, if you want to fire me, fire me. I'll go look for a job. I don't blame you. Hey, I won't say a word. And I've got it coming. Hey. Guy stared at him for a little while. He had flown from Detroit down there. Pushed back from the desk, stood up, and said something to this effect. Charlie, you've been making money for us for years. Keep up the good work. Walked out. That was the end of it. Hey, let me give you a verse. The verse goes like this. I'm going to give you the verse. I got it down here. If the Ecclesiastes 10:4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. Yielding pacifies great offenses. I'm telling some of you folks how to get a raise. My son heard this message at 22 years old. When he went to Hot Springs to that church down there, Dr. Facy had him in charge of purchasing property for the college at 23, I guess it was, purchasing property for the college and going before the zoning board and city hall, and he was getting miracles done. They couldn't believe it. He had City Hall eating out of their hand. I asked him one day, I said, Dan, how are you doing that? He said, oh, it's easy. I just walked in down there and told him, first time I met him. Folks, came his time to speak. He said, folks, look, I'm a kid. They sent me down here to do a man's job, and I'm nothing but a kid. I don't even know what's going on. But I've got a job to do, and I need some help. Would you folks give me some advice? Would you folks help me? I'm just a kid. They've given me this job. I don't want to lose my job. You men are old enough to be my daddies, and I'm supposed to be down here petitioning you to get zoning changed to buy this property. I don't know anything about it. Could you help me? Hey, they're treating him like a son. Hey, they're eating out of his hand. He said, it's easy, Daddy. And anything is easy. You submit to people, they'll submit back to you. I'm going to tell you something. Buddy, I want to tell you something. You can get people to do what you want them to do if you will go at it in the right way. And I could talk about the pastor-people relationship. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. And it goes on to tell how that they will feed you and bless you and be a help to you. Hey, I've been in, you know what? You know why this church is what this church is? Because you got a preacher here that you respond to. You respond to him. That's why he loves you like he does. He don't just preach sweet little sermons. He skins your hide, but he does it with a tear in the eye. He does it because he loves you, and you know he loves you. He cares about you. I've been in churches, and they wouldn't grow, and nothing happening. And first time I was in, I knew why. Preacher, I bless God, if you can get the thing out of this crowd, you do it. This is the stubbornest, bullheadedest crowd I ever saw. And buddy, he and they're right back at him. And I know why, but I want to tell you something. If you want to see God come down in this place, every time that man preaches something that you're guilty of, you put your sorry carcass on this altar, and you'll see God fill him with his spirit. You'll see God bless his place. You just think you've seen the blessings of God. You'd have to build another building around here. If you just really submit to the man of God. School students, you go home. That teacher's got it out for me. That teacher's treating. And here comes little mama down here. My daughter says you're not treating her right. You say, who told you what's going on around here? Nobody. I don't know nothing, but I usually tree a coon when I get on this subject. And I'll tell you something right now. You say, that teacher's got it out for me. You might be right. And she may not be treating you fairly, but you created it. You're stubborn. You're not going to submit. You're not going to do what you're supposed to do. And you got a rotten attitude. You get your attitude fixed and that teacher will love you and be a help to you. And I'm trying to help you now. Teachers are human like everybody else. You better listen to me. And then last, the God-child of God relationship. We won't take time to turn. Let me just read this to you here. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So watch it now. That there may be meat in my house, and prove me, test me, saith the Lord. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you not have room to receive it. Now watch me now. Look at me. I could have read the rest of that chapter talking about putting on the whole army of God and submitting yourself. But watch this. Watch this. It didn't say, hey, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. And when I do, I want you to tithe now. Boy, I'm going to bless you. I want you to tithe. Uh-uh. You got it backwards. You got it backwards. He says, you give. You do what's right. Not just in the matter of giving, but in every matter. You submit to me. You do what's right. And try me. Test me. I mean, I'm anxious. I'm waiting. I'm wanting to just take the bottom off of heaven and let it all fall out on you. God is so anxious to bless you, but he cannot bless you because he cannot submit to you till you submit to him. And once he submits to you, he will become, and I say this reverently, he will become your servant. Now, you take it to the New Testament. Jesus said, he said, I came to serve, and he washed their feet. And Jesus will serve you. I'll give you an illustration or so. And we'll close this sermon. Listen to this very carefully. James says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Did you notice that? He didn't say, when God draws near to you, you draw near to him. No, you got it backwards. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. A couple of years ago, we needed some property. We'd been wanting to buy around us for a long time. It came up for sale. But we couldn't afford it. It was too much money, and we couldn't afford it. But the people really wanted to buy it, and I knew it. I took the people, and we walked around and looked at it. And on a Sunday night, I discussed it for a while, brought it to a vote. No negative conversation at all, and not one negative vote. They voted unanimous to buy that property. And then I preached on where the spies went into Canaan and the walls fell, but they didn't fall till after they went in. And I said, folks, I said, and I quoted that verse, says, if the Lord be pleased with us, he'll bring us into the land. And I surprised myself. I said, you know, I think the Lord's pleased with me sometime. And oftentimes I think he's not. But you know what I'm going to do tonight? I said, I'm an idiot to even lead you to vote to buy that property. We don't have the money. And you're an idiot to vote for it. And they all laughed. But I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I said, suddenly the Holy Spirit has convicted me. And I'm going to get on this altar. Y'all can all go home now. I'm going to get on this altar. And I said, I'm going to ask God to be pleased with me more than he has ever been pleased with me before. And I just quit and went to the altar. And when I did, that altar filled up. Well, I talked to the Lord a little bit, made some holy vows to the Lord. And I stood up to go back to the pulpit because I knew that it was in the midst of a pretty good invitation. I wanted to see God work. When I stood up, a visitor, a man visiting our church, tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around, looked at him. And we're talking about several buildings. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of property. And he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Brother Allen?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Can I give a word of testimony tonight?" "Oh, farmer." "This farmer." I said, "Yes, sir." I stepped to the pulpit. I said, "Brother so-and-so is visiting with us tonight. Wants to give a word of testimony." He came to the pulpit. He said, started talking about how God had blessed him. Started out in his business. Got some chickens from his daddy. Started raising chickens. Got into the chicken raising business. How God had blessed him. And gave a testimony. Pretty good testimony. I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's a good testimony. But what's that got to do with the price of tea in China tonight? Yeah, we voted on this building. When he got done, he started away. Oh! He said, "I forgot to tell you what I came up here to tell you. God just laid on my heart to give you half of the money that you're going to spend on all that property. And in 48 hours, half of that total amount was in our treasure. Half of it. Simply because I submitted to God. And a bunch of others submitted to God. You have no idea what God wants to do in your family. You have no idea what God wants to do in your marriage. You have no idea what God wants to do in your church. And you have no idea what God wants to do in your life. Now, folks, I'm an old mule skinning, platform running, slobbering, sin killing preacher. And I have sermons. I got a dozen of them laying right down there right now. And next time I come back, I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to preach till those fluorescent light bulbs burst up there. Now, you listen. Well, maybe that's a little overstatement, but I'm going to skin your hide. But Holy Ghost of God, as far as I can tell, laid on my heart to preach to you what I've preached to you tonight. And I believe this one truth can change your heart, change your marriage, change your family, change your parents, change your children, and change your life. More than any one truth I know of in the Bible. And it's this. When you submit, it causes others to submit back. And the subordinate must submit first. Whether it's the child of God to his Savior. Or whether it's the employee to the employer. Or whether it's the child to the parent. Or whether it's the wife to the husband. We've got to do it God's way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Reggie, you'll never have any more revival in your church than the degree to which your families line up in the will of God and according to the Word of God. And I want to thank you with all of my heart for listening to this message. And I pray that God will use it. Now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask this question. How many are here and you say, "Brother Brown, I must be honest with you. There's some things you said tonight I'd never thought of that way before. But God showed me they were right. And I'm not just going to be hearers of the Word. I'm, by the grace of God, am going to set out to be a doer of the Word. And I'm going to obey God. As best I don't know how and all I'm going to go about it, but I'm going to go about trying to submit to God in the pattern of submission that God wants me to be in. And Brother Brown, by the grace of God, I'm going to submit to God and obey what He convicted me of tonight. God spoke to me while you were preaching." Everybody can say that. Nobody's looking. Just get your hand up. Let me see it. Let me see it. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. All over the room. There's men. There's women. There's boys. There's girls. There's teenagers. And more people than raised their hand last night. Reggie? Heavenly Father, I can't bring revival. The angels of God in heaven can't bring revival. As a matter of fact, God can't bring revival till your people submit to you. And when we think about what you'd love to do in this place, and in these families, and in these marriages, and with these children, and these young people, and even these little ones here, when we think what you would want to do to this church, and this preacher, and these families, and this ministry, and how you'd want to be glorified, and even the souls that could and would be saved, if these people lined up with God and His Word, it makes us tremble, shiver. Holy Spirit of God, work in this invitation. Now, if we have whoever here could play one of these instruments, Could somebody come up here and just get on? You pick out anything you want to play, but don't start playing until I give you the signal, okay? You wait till I give you the signal. Now, I want you to listen to me while she's getting ready. Now, you listen to this real carefully. In just a moment, you're going to hear music. When you hear music, you that raised your hand, you didn't raise that hand to show off because nobody was looking. You raised that hand because in your heart, you felt the Holy Spirit of God talk to you about something. Now, if you got to look around to see if Sister Wigglejaw comes to the altar so you can come, ladies, or if you got to look around so you can see if old Boudreaux comes to the altar before you come, sir, I'd advise you just stay put. God couldn't talk to you anyway. You can't do business with God. But if you say live, die, sink, swim, get fat or die skinny, I'm going to obey God if nobody else in this building. Oh, there'll be some people coming to the altar, I would imagine, just like there were last night. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for you and what God wants you to do. And you say, Pastor Brown, I'm going to obey God. You raised your hand. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, I'll tell you again what I told you last night. Friend, are you listening to this preacher? Did you know that tonight you are playing a dangerous game? If you hear a truth like this from God's Word and you won't obey it, did you know you can get no more light from God's Word till you obey this? You'll get darkness. Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you will bless in this invitation. And I know that even though probably some people come to the altar, maybe many, we won't really see what's going on in the heart, but you will. But we'll know in days to come, in this church and in the families, what God did. Because you'll manifest yourself like you always do. Our heads are bowed. You've heard the message. You raised your hand. You admitted God spoke to you. You said, well, I can get right with God in my pew. You can't do it. If you got so much pride, you can't get down here. You can't get right with God in your pew. God won't let you. But you say, live, die, sink, swim, get fat or die skinny. I'm gonna submit to God's plan for my life. People are already getting up to come. Begin to play right now. Everybody stand. And when you stand to your feet, just come to the nearest aisle if God spoke to you. Come on. That's right. You're doing the right thing. Will you come right now? Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There's no joy. There's no peace till the Lord has His way. Put your life in His hand and follow His command. Let the Lord have His way. Will you come right now? Just slip out from where you are. That's right. God bless you. You're going to obey God. You're going to submit. You're going to submit to God and His plan for your life. Thank God for these. How about others? Will you come? Well, praise God. How about others? Will you come? Submission. Submission causes submission. It's the only way to see God really change your husband, ladies. It's the only way to see God change your parents, children. Is just submit to them. If you submit to them, God can work on them. And God can work through them. And God will. But you must submit. And don't play games. Don't play games. Like a lady said, George, every time I decide what to do, you start... decide to obey, you start telling me what to do. Don't play games. Mean it in your heart. And wait on God. You go home, submit to Him. Don't expect Him to fall all over you and go buy you a new house and car the same night. I mean, you wait it out. You give it a chance. You let God have His way. Stay here and pray a little bit. Brother Reggie, you come up here whenever you get free and take over. Could be somebody in this room that don't know God as Savior. Could be somebody in this room, if you died tonight, you'd bust hell wide open before 5 o'clock in the morning. You say, Brother Brown, pray for me. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Get your hand up. At the altar or in the pew, get your hand up. Don't know for sure I'm saved. Hold your hand up. Hold it up. I want to pray for you. Anybody here like that? Brother Reggie, you come take over, do whatever you feel led to do.